Remember last summer when heavy, heavy rains inundated much of Vermont and parts of the Adirondacks? Well, biologists were watching this event carefully for what all the runoff and extra water would do to Lake Champlain.
We do our best to collect water quality data and to look at the monitoring that we've done to try to make sense of the storm, try to learn from it for future events like this, and to see what the impacts might have been for our lake and our ecosystem.
How those storms last summer affected Lake Champlain's water quality today, on today's Story of the Day.
Support for Story of the Day comes from Claxton Hepburn Medical Center, dedicated to providing patient care and regional services to the people of St. Lawrence County. ClaxtonHepburn.org.
Hey, I'm David Summerstein. It's Thursday, March 7th, and I am coming to you, not quite live, from Emily Russell's workspace here, our Adirondack reporter in the Adirondacks. Hi, Emily.
Hi. It's beautiful. It's sunny. It's a glorious day in Saranac Lake.
Lovely to be here. First up, New York's Assembly and Senate are expected to release their budget plans early next week. Both houses say they plan to restore school aid reductions proposed by Governor Kathy Hochul. Karen DeWitt reports from Albany.
Hochul wants to make changes to what's known as the state's foundation aid formula. It's used for determining the distribution of state aid to schools. She would end the practice of hold harmless. That guarantees that no school district receives less money than it did the previous year. She also wants to alter the way inflation is calculated. It would result in less money for some schools this year. The proposal has drawn bipartisan opposition. Analysis by the Senate Democrats' fiscal team estimated schools could lose over $400 million in aid. Senate Leader Andrea Stork-Cousins says the reductions would have a massive impact on schools.
Almost half of the school districts in the state will be receiving less funding than they would have anticipated. We're very, very concerned about that.
Senate Education Chair Shelley Mayer spoke at a news conference that also included the Teachers Union, the School Boards Association, and the PTA, among others. She says lawmakers can't allow the cuts to go forward.
I am very confident that my colleagues in the Senate majority will stand to fully reject the cuts the governor has proposed.
Republicans, who are in the minority party in both houses, are also opposed. GOP Senator Jim Todisco, the ranking member of the Senate Education Committee and a former high school teacher, says students are still recovering from the effects of the pandemic and continue to need special mental health and other services initiated in the past couple of years.
We had a little something called COVID. Our kids sat in the kitchen, many of them, in front of a TV camera on a computer while their educators were miles away on another one. Didn't work. If you look at what happened, there's developmental backstepping.
Hochul is defending her proposals. She says for the past 2 years, there were record increases in school spending as she fulfilled a nearly two decades old court order to fully fund education. She says schools also benefited from one-time federal pandemic relief aid packages. She says no one should expect that level of spending to continue.
I assume rational people would understood that can't happen. So it is not a cut when you compare us to where we were before I took office, and it's still a huge increase. And so, but I understand the passions behind this. I understand the desire for people to stir this up.
Hochul says she is setting aside an additional $100 million to help make adjustments for schools that would lose significant funding under her plan if the hold harmless provision is ended. But she says the number of school-age children in the state is declining, and the school aid should change accordingly.
Are we really going to be locked into a formula just because it has been done that way for a long time? And I'll never accept that as a satisfactory answer on how I do anything in state government.
The Senate and Assembly say they will present their budget plans on Monday. After that, they have 3 weeks until the budget is due on April 1st. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt for the New York Public News Network.
Dr. Matthew Vaughn is the Lake Champlain Basin Program's chief scientist. He's giving a talk tonight that focuses on how last summer's severe rainstorms affected the lake's water quality. The biggest concerns at the time were untreated wastewater and excess stormwater flowing into the lake. So what happened? Vaughn told Champlain Valley reporter Kara Chapman that there were already a number of monitoring programs in place to track the effects.
We have what's called the Lake Champlain Long-Term Monitoring Program. That program is designed to sample water quality, you know, nearly every day throughout the warm seasons, throughout the lake and in our major rivers. So that was ongoing both before and after the flood, and in some cases during the flood as well, to try to capture what was going downstream in our major rivers. We also were lucky that we had piloted a real-time buoy monitoring network that was active in Mallets Bay and in the Lamoille River. So those buoys were sitting in the river and in the lake measuring water quality at every 15 minutes. We also have municipalities and beach managers who are monitoring water quality at public beaches and taking E. coli samples.
From all that data that was being collected, was there anything that stood out that was like surprising, concerning, and enlightening? Anything that you learned?
The first thing that was encouraging was that there was not, you know, widespread E. coli or bacterial contamination. There was some, you know, some elevated concerns here and there, especially, you know, right near the mouth of the Winooski River. And I think Plattsburgh had some elevated counts as well. But throughout this period, Burlington beaches had levels that were below public safety thresholds, and the contamination was not widespread there. We did track, you know, phosphorus contribution to Lake Champlain during this time. Phosphorus is a nutrient that can drive problems that we have in Lake Champlain and really around the world, like cyanobacteria growth, which can, you know, produce toxins in extreme cases. So that is something that was, you know, we analyzed in the weeks and months following the storm. And what we found is that, you know, not surprisingly, the storm contributed a great, you know, a very high amount of phosphorus to the lake. You know, we're really have our eye on these types of extreme storms in the long term, because we're expecting with climate change that the persistence and the frequency of these extreme storms will increase.
Did you get a sense of, you know, what Lake Champlain can or can't handle when it comes to extreme weather, since, like you said, storms like this could become more frequent due to climate change?
Yeah, and you know, there's certainly a concern in the short term when you have a lot of this phosphorus delivery that, you know, the season will be impacted by this amount of phosphorus. But the lake is a really big system, and it can handle, you know, episodic events like this. Our watershed has seen large storms for many, many years. The lake did kind of rebound or recover in a matter of weeks, and the season for cyanobacteria or other types of things in the lake was not terribly unusual for the rest of the summer. The concern, though, is overall, when you have a trend of more storms like this over time, it can work against our efforts to reduce phosphorus. And that's something that we're keeping in mind as we go about our restoration efforts. We need to design solutions that will be resilient to increasing storms, more powerful storms in the future.
Have any of those solutions, I guess, been identified yet? What are you doing to try and figure out what they are or implement them, Dr. Vaughn?
Yeah, absolutely. So as an example, the Lake Champlain Basin Program and our partners are looking to quantify the benefits of floodplain restoration and wetland restoration, and then target where the most advantageous parcels might be to preserve and restore those areas. Because when you have a flood, part of the problem is that our rivers have, in some cases, have been disconnected from these systems, from the floodplains and from surrounding wetlands. So they are not able to spread out and slow down like they naturally would. So when you are able to protect and restore these, you know, riverside floodplains and wetlands, the floodwaters can really dissipate, move out, slow down, and sink into the landscape rather than, you know, moving down and powerfully eroding the landscape and delivering the sediment and phosphorus to the lake.
That was Dr. Matthew Vaughn speaking with Champlain Valley reporter Kara Chapman. He's giving a talk tonight titled Exploring Water Quality Impacts of the July 2023 Storm in the Lake Champlain Basin. People can attend in person at the Lake Champlain Basin Programs Office in Grand Isle, Vermont, or tune in via Zoom. We have more information about that on our website, ncpr.org. More news there as well, all the time, ncpr.org. Music today by Christopher Watts of Canton and Gretchen Kohler and Daniel Kelly of Potsdam. I'm David Summerstein here on location at our Adirondack reporter Emily Russell's office in Saranac Lake, North Country Public Radio.